Hi, I'm Rob Ginta, and you are on the Sanctuary Podcast. Coming to you from Fairfield, Connecticut, we are so glad that you are with us today. We hope that this message encourages you, inspires you, and is relevant to where you are in your faith right now. Hey, welcome to Sanctuary again, and thanks for joining us in actually the finale of this three-week series that we've done past couple of weeks, where we've gone through the first, we've gone through the first two chapters so far, but tonight we're going through the third chapter of Ephesians. It's this really amazing letter found in the Bible. Here at Sanctuary, we believe that the Bible is not just a text of historical facts, which it is, but that it's a living, breathing word of God, and that it still speaks to us today, that it's still relevant for us today, that it, although it addresses things that have happened in human history thousands of years ago, that, man, guess what? Humanity hasn't changed all that much. Still going through the same problems, still facing the same obstacles. We just have, like, paved roads now. That's pretty much the big difference. But, man, we're going to dive into this together because we believe that when we read this together, when we confess this word together, that all of us get better. And not only that, but that God's Spirit actually is here amongst us when we profess and confess the name of Jesus together. Isn't that amazing? Come on. All right, we got a few people excited about that. Like, God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything seen and unseen, is in this room with each and every one of us right now. There we go. A little bit more of an appropriate response. I was reading one time in the Minor Prophet of Ezra that when he just, like, opened the scroll back then, that people started cheering. So I'm praying for that here eventually. We're going to pray. We're going to dive in and talk about the future and hope for you and me. Sound good? Let's talk about future and hope tonight. God, we thank you again so much for these moments that we have together as a church family. See so many beautiful faces here tonight and so many beautiful people that you've intentionally created and designed for nights like tonight. God, for being with you both now, like right now, Sunday night, November 10th, 2019 and forever. God, I pray that, again, we'll just receive all that you have for us tonight with open hands, open eyes, open minds, open hearts. God, that we're just open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Random question. Show of hands, how many of you enjoy pain? Enjoy pain. Okay, we got like any psychologists in the room. I just gave you your free clients right now, people that enjoy pain. That's pretty amazing. Maybe it's for different reasons, and I'm going to get to a point where you're actually not that crazy, where pain can be a good thing. We're going to talk about pain a bit tonight because most of us don't enjoy it. I don't, but all of us experience it in some way or another. You know, pain is not unique to the Christian. Every human being experiences it. But I believe that there are some advantages and privileges that we have as Christians, as being united in Christ, that can help us not just go through pain, but grow through pain. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight as we open up to Ephesians chapter 3. But before we do that, I just want to list some general advantages of pain and why it could actually be a good thing. So pain, this is just by a Google search, pain warns us when something is wrong. It warns us when something is wrong. So, like, the classic example here is, like, if you put your hand on the stove, pain is going to tell you, hey, dummy, get your hand off the stove. Like, pain warns you of when something is wrong. Like, something is not right here. You got to respond and act in a different way. Another advantage, general advantage of pain is that it lets us know when something needs extra care. It lets us know when something needs extra care. So, for example, like if you have a leg injury, pain will tell you, hey, for your leg to operate in a way that's going to function, where you might be able to walk, you might need to do a little bit of extra stretches, or you might even need a brace right now. Your leg needs a little extra care to recover to its proper healthy state. Pain warns us. It lets us know when something needs extra care. It also reminds us that we need help outside of our own capabilities. That's a big one, too, because there's physical pain that we've experienced. There's also, as all of us have experienced in this room, mental pain emotional pain that happens. And pain reminds us that we need people, that we can't depend on ourselves. It frustrates me sometimes. And again, I've done this. Why is it that typically by ourselves we get into messy and painful situations, and for whatever reason we think that the same situation that we got into by ourselves that is causing us pain, that we can get out of it by ourselves? Pain reminds us that we need people, that we need to rely on people, that we need to rely on God. Pain reminds us of these things. So these are just some general advantages of pain. And again, what I'm believing for us tonight, and I'm not here to minimize any pain, I'm just trying to maximize how big God is in your pain. That's my goal for tonight. I'm not trying to minimize any pain, because I actually don't know what pain you brought into the room tonight. I don't. But God does. And I believe that he has a word for you and me tonight about it. Because again, pain is inevitable, but for the Christian, growth is optional. Pain is inevitable, but with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us, growth is actually an option for us. So I want to just preach on some growing pains tonight. Is that good? Let's go. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. We're going to read through verse 20 tonight. So we got 13 verses of really good stuff. I'm going to drink some water because my throat's dry, and we're going to dive in. Okay. You awake? Yeah. Whoa, almost lost that. That could have been bad. You awake, front row? I almost just lost my iPad. It's coming for you. Here we go. Ephesians 3, verse 7. This guy named Paul says, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles," which again, we discussed this a little bit last week and in previous week, Gentiles, this was just anyone that was non-Jewish who didn't have an experience with God before. He says, "I had the privilege of telling them about the endless treasures available to them in Christ." Again, we talked about this in week one of this series, talk about the eternal blessings that are available to those in Christ. He says, "I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places." That's really big too. That's a sermon for another day. But here we go. "This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence." We can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Yes, the one that we were honoring moments ago in our songs and worship, and even just acknowledging that his presence is here and amongst this place right now. We can come in boldness and confidence into it. Amazing. Paul says this then, "So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored." And he says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Amen. This is it. This is Ephesians chapter 3. You know, if you've been in church for a little bit, you might have heard of these verses before. This is actually one of the most encouraging prayers in the entire Bible. It's so encouraging. I mean, man, growing deep in love. Man, that God's able to do infinitely more than we can ever conjure up in our minds or in our wildest dreams, that God can do so much more than that. Like, this is like big stuff. But really, what God was highlighting for me in preparation for tonight, and the word I believe he has for us tonight, is actually that weird, like awkward verse 13. The bridge between Paul's purpose and Paul's future is Paul's present pain. Did you pick up on that? He said in verse 13, so please don't lose heart here. I'm sorry. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. He says, I'm suffering, but for you. So you should feel honored. I got three things about pain tonight. Three really simple things that pain can do for those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus. These are part of the privileges and benefits, right? First thing, pain refines my purpose. Pain refines my purpose. Pain refines my purpose. Pain should not define you, but it should refine you. It should not define you, but it should refine you. I know some people have let pain define their lives. They've let pain define their lives. I was recently talking to an older gentleman at a party recently, and he's a very successful, wealthy man in his later age. He's retired now, has homes in most places in the world. And when he heard that he was like, what do you do for work? And he was like, what business are you a part of? And typically when I'm at a party and it's someone that I haven't met before, and there's all of these, like, unfortunately in New England, like, bad connotations towards, like, somebody working in a church, I always start with, oh, I work at a local nonprofit, because that continues the conversation at least one more sentence. And so I started talking about, he was like, oh, what does your local nonprofit do? And I was like, well, we're just all about impacting our local cities with the best news that the world has ever known. And not only that, but we believe that this impact doesn't just affect where we are right now, but it actually has global reach. And so we do things over in the Middle East, which we'll be talking about next week at a Jordan night. And I just started talking about all these different things. And then he's like, oh, what nonprofit is this? I was like, oh, I work at Black Rock Church, actually, like in Fairfield. He's like, oh. He's like, I'm grateful for people like you that have hope in humanity. He's like, I don't. He's like, I've seen too much. People just never change. There's too much pain in the world. He's like, I'm grateful for people like you that have hope in humanity and hope in a future, because I don't. And I just, like, I'm reading this guy and I'm talking with him. I'm like, brother, you okay? Like, I'm talking with him, but I can totally tell that this man has let pain define his life. And for you, it might not have been pain that you've witnessed happen to others, as this man did with his international business. Maybe it was you had pain from a hard breakup that happened a couple of years ago, and it was a really tough breakup, and you've been unable to move forward with your life because you've defined your life by that hard relationship that ended up in a tough breakup. You see, when we let pain define our lives, we're unable to move forward. But pain, for the Christian, can refine our lives. So I'm going to define refine for all of us right now. Here's what it says in dictionary.com. Refine, it's a verb, means to remove impurities or unwanted elements from a substance. To remove impurities or unwanted elements from a substance. You see, Paul, when he's writing this letter, remember, he's stuck in a prison again. But Paul actually needed the pain of his prisons to slow down, to reflect on why he's doing what he's doing, and to take courage in God's path for his life. Here's my question for you and me tonight. How is pain causing you to slow down, reflect, and take courage again? Or is pain causing you to slow down, reflect, and take courage again? Because guess what? You place your faith in Jesus. This is something that is available to you. You can actually be like, oh, wait, God is with me. Things are going to turn out okay. I've read the end of the book. I know that victory is mine through Jesus. Like, you can actually take hold of these things, and pain causes us to slow down, reflect, and take courage again. Remember that Paul was experiencing actually pain for his purpose. Do you remember this? I read it a little bit earlier. He mentions his purpose. He says, by God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. And he talks about how this good news, he's sharing it with people that have never heard about God before. But then he says, so please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you. These people that are reading the letter were the recipients of this purpose that God placed on Paul's life. And Paul's saying, don't throw me a pity party. Party over. Worth it. The purpose that God has placed on my life, so worth it. Because here's the deal. Paul, in some ways, is living out his dream job. I think that so many of us think that, man, if I just had my dream job, if I was just doing what I was actually passionate about, if I finally had that senior ranking official in this organization, man, life would be so much better. And it would be pain-free, we're good. But guess what? I think that the opposite happens. I think that God allows us to suffer pain for a purpose, for it to grow us, for it to reveal who we really are and how we can continue to grow with him. I love what Erwin McManus says in The Way of the Warrior. He says, in victory, every warrior looks to be brave and courageous. Yet it is defeat that strips you bare and forces you to see your truest self. Success allows you to maintain the illusion of who you are. It's in failure that you come to know yourself best. So here's the question. What is pain highlighting in your life that needs to be refined? What is pain highlighting in your life that needs to be refined? The things that are going to take away the impurities, the things that are unwanted, so that you can become more and more like Jesus. Pain allows these things to happen. Pain, refine my purpose, but it also reestablishes my love. Pain reestablishes my love. Check it out, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's beautiful. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. You know what I love about the season we're in right now? Everything. Fall is the best. Best season. I don't care. I heard some summer mopers a couple of weeks ago upset that summer's over. No. We're in the best time right now. Although the leaves are mostly off the trees and mostly pretty dead, man, just like that freshness you smelled, the leaves in the air, you know what I'm talking about? Like that fall leaf smell. Oh, the apple pies. Watching college football on Saturdays, if that's your thing. Putting on a flannel and like not looking crazy, putting on a flannel because the temperature is actually like, you can wear a flannel right now, it's cool, right? Like all these different things about fall are just so amazing. And I mentioned earlier the trees, and when we're looking at the trees this time of year, especially as more and more leaves are falling off, it's easy to look at the trees and be like, are they all dead? Did they stop growing? Is there life in these trees? I've mentioned it before. What's actually happening right now is that the trees are growing their roots down in the fall so that they can prepare for a harsher winter. The roots are growing down right now. That's what's happening. So the growth isn't happening upward. It's happening downward and outward. And I love how Paul is equating our spiritual souls to the likeness of a plant whose roots need to grow down. You see, I believe that some people, and I'm just speaking from experience right now. This isn't just off of observation. This is like personal experience as well. That sometimes I face like the same painful lesson over and over and over it again because I haven't let the pain teach me. Right? And you actually can't move forward because God is trying to teach you a lesson over and over and over again. But you keep refacing it because you haven't learned how to grow through it. And you know what else I love? I love how Paul says all God's people should understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. But the reality is not all God's people do understand this. We should be able to understand this. But not all God's people do understand this. And I'm like, God, I want to be able to understand this. I want to remain teachable, not just when things are going great in my life, but when I'm experiencing pain. God, I want to be able to lean into your spirit a little bit more in tougher times. God, and you know what's so neat too is that, again, these are growing pains. So things that maybe used to hurt me a year ago or a few months ago, they're not hurting me as much now because I'm allowing God to teach me in pain. My pain management is increasing. And this is what happens when you're like, all right, God, get me out of this. No. It's like, God, what are you trying to teach me in this right now? How can I grow through this with you, God? How are you trying to make me stronger? What is this that I'm going through right now where you're trying to strengthen me? And you know what's so cool? It says that your love will be established, that God's love in your life will be established and grow down like roots. And you know that God's love is actually defined. We don't have to worry about it. I believe that God defines love for us because this is way too big of a word for humans to define on themselves. I think that many people have taken really like good intended attempts to define love, but really missed the mark. And God defines it for us in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. You might have actually heard it at a wedding before, but this isn't just for your friends that got married. This is for every single human being. Love defined for us. Here it is. God says that love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That last line is really big, especially when it comes to pain. Remember, Paul is saying, because of all this, when I think of all these things, I pray that the Spirit will empower you to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how deep, how high, how amazing God's love is. And then he defines love for us in another place. You know what pain can do? Pain can either cause us to give up or cause us to persevere. And that's how our love is being established. Love perseveres. It says it right here. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. Pain can cause you to lose faith or make your faith even stronger. That doesn't mean you don't have questions. That doesn't mean you don't have doubts. I have questions. I have doubts. But man, in pain, my faith has been strengthened because all of a sudden I'm like, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Let me take heart in Christ again. Pain. It says that love endures through every circumstance, including the painful ones. Love endures through every circumstance. Pain reestablishes my love. If nothing else too, it grows you in empathy, right? Pain will grow, like is there anybody out there tonight? Pain grows in empathy. I was thinking about how earlier this year when my grandma passed away, this is one of the things that happened. Man, I was so heartbroken. I was thinking, love my grandma. It was the last grandparent I had in my family. It's like we finally, and this isn't a good thing, but it's like we've lost that generation now in our family. And I remember their legacies, but like it was still painful, and it still is some days. And I remember immediately when it happened, there were some super good-hearted, well-intended people that gave the most awful advice. Right? It's okay, Rob. God's got a plan. I'm like, he does, but I'm in pain right now. It's okay, Rob. He's going to work all things together for your good and his glory. I'm like, yeah, I know these things, but I'm in pain right now. Best advice I got from someone when my grandma passed away, somebody literally just came up to me and said, Rob, I'm sorry. And he gave me a hug, and we literally just like sat down. And he was just with me. And you know what? My tendency is to be that advice giver where it's like, okay, positivity is my number one strength. I want to point people to a better hope and future, right? But there's sometimes where pain reminds you, hey, you just, people don't need advice right now. They just need you to be present, right? So pain grows you in your love and empathy. Here's the last thing that pain does. It resets my hope. It resets my hope. Ephesians 3:20, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Wow. Whew. Let that sink in. We've been silent most of the night anyway. Let's like literally sit in a moment of silence just for like 2 seconds. Read that and let that sink in. What if we are more than we know, and in our disconnection with God have become less than we were ever meant to be? What if we are more than we know, and in our disconnection with God, we become less than we were ever meant to be? You see, hope belongs to something greater in the future. What you have, possessions, exists in the present, but what you hope for can only exist in the future. Or if your hope is in the past, that's what we call hopeless. If your hope is behind you and you have nothing to look forward to, that's where hopelessness derives from, okay? So hope and pain resets our hope. You see, Paul's hope in this time wasn't in his present. It couldn't have been. He was in jail for crying out loud. Like, that's not that fun of a gig. I hear that the bedding accommodations are not too great in a first century Roman prison. Not fun. At all. Band, you guys can come back up, by the way. See, I believe that pain salivates our soul's craving for destiny better than anything else. That's what it does, because pain causes, man, there has to be something more than this. There has to be something better than this. It salivates our souls for a destiny and future that's better than what we're going through. Better than anything, really. So like different things, like we can apply this to our physical lives as well. When you're like working out, okay? Which I'm trying to do a little bit more, okay? I'm working on it. But it's like when I'm running or when I'm on that bike ride, right? And I'm in pain, I'm like reminding myself, whew, this pain is temporary. This pain is not permanent. The growth is permanent. The growth is permanent. This pain is not, the growth is. And it reminds me of something that I'm looking for. Man, I'm gonna push through this. I'm gonna grow through this. This is not my permanent state of being. My permanent state of being is not pain. So the question then is, who will we be in light of all this? Who will we be, church? Man, I'm praying that we'll be people that's purpose is refined, that's love is reestablished, and whose hope is reset. On all these different things. Amen? Yeah. Let me just play a few different scenarios. Maybe the pain you brought in here tonight is that you had expectations of moving out of your parents' place. But due to a car accident, maybe you're set back financially. And the only way that you're going to be able to save up enough money to get out of that house and rent is working a little bit of overtime. And you're like, man, I'm going through pain right now. Rob, I've lost my hope right now. Maybe the pain that you're persevering through right now as you've been praying for years, God, please reconcile the relationship, heal the relationship between my mom and dad, or God, heal the relationship between me and my dad, or me and my mom, and you've been praying these things and you haven't seen the breakthrough yet. Maybe the pain you're going through is what I described a little bit earlier. Rob, I went through a really rough breakup. I thought I would have had a family by now. Thought I would have been married by now. Thought I would have been settling in. But that pain of the breakup is still there, and it's been haunting you. Maybe you thought by now you'd have your career established, and that it would be taken off. But setback after setback has gotten in the way of pursuing your dream, and you've started to second guess, do I have what it takes to get there? I don't know the pain that you have, but God does. And maybe, just maybe, God is saying, your hope is not in moving out of your parents' basement. It's moving into your local church family. Your hope is not stepping into a career that you desire, but a calling that you've already been given through Jesus. Maybe your hope is not in your future family you've been dreaming about, but it's in your future home with Jesus. All that to say, your hope is here, and your hope is Him. Amen. I know this was a heavy message. This was not fun to preach, by the way. This is like parts of my job where it's like, God, like, that's in the Bible. I really don't want to talk about this. I'd rather just talk about all the fun things. And we could talk about the fun things. But God wants us to also experience the real things in the reality of Him, in the reality of His presence in the pain. Amen. So here's what I want to do. I actually want to do something a little bit different right now. We're going to just pray, and we're going to worship a little bit more. I'm literally just going to pray Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 over us right now. Okay? And Paul says this. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. If you're able, I want you to just take a step with me, just for a minute. I want you to actually, this is gonna be old fashioned right now, church style. Just get on your knees right now. We're gonna pray this together. The reason why we do this is that this puts us in God's right position and us in our right position. God, we honor you, we respect you, we recognize that we're humbled in your presence. Okay? Here's what I pray. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though guess what? It is too great to understand fully. You haven't figured it all out, friend. There's so much more to encounter. There's so much more to experience. There's so much more of God's love that you don't even know about. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Yeah. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.